Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? Ah, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness, it was Wow Wednesday, and we had a wow time yesterday morning. I hope you were with us. Well, we started our morning with Vivian's socially conscious segment, and oh, Texas is down. Those COVID numbers have come down, and guess what? If you weren't on, then you didn't hear that Florida is not in the top three. Oh, that's something to give God thanks about, isn't it? Well, Vivian's got more news that always shakes us up. Oh, she talked about the prescription pills that are laced with fentanyl out in Atlanta. And she said something like 9.5 million pills in the year of 2021 alone have been just laced. And what kind of sick mind is out here lacing our prescription pills? Well, unfortunately, it's not going to stay contained to Atlanta. Oh, we don't know what we're taking. We don't know what we're taking. So, see, this is why I tell you we need the Lord. We need the Lord because we got to pray over everything. We're not just praying over our food. We're praying over prescription pills. We're praying over every single thing. Oh, what about that hit list? The hit list that's going on in the school where they're paying $200 to beat up a child because they're buck tooth. And our children have gone buck wild. They really, really have. We need to get them something to do, and it's got to have Jesus in it because they got a lot of stuff to do, but it ain't got no Jesus. And they are just really out of control. Well, she also talked about the new team, the TikTok challenge, Slap a Teacher Challenge. And I brought up, I wish when we were growing up that we would even consider slapping anybody, much less a teacher, an adult, a parent, or somebody. I mean, come on, you really got to be like crazy to even participate in these things. And, you know, talking yesterday, it's sad. It's sad because whatever's going on, you know, they cried to come out. You know, how many parents talked about their children? You know, my children need to get back in school because they need to be with their friends. Well, this is what being with your friends is doing. Y'all not getting together doing something constructive. Slap the teacher challenge. And like I said yesterday, I don't know if a whole lot of them want to slap some of these teachers out here because they already ain't wrapped too tight. So go ahead and slap them. Mama be picking you up from the hospital. Yeah. Okay, it's we really have to talk to our children in a different way. Just really get some sense to them And, you know, we talked about with the women of worship yesterday, praying. And that's what we really got to come to, because at a point, what more can you say? You know, we can't say that all of these children who are getting involved in these activities are coming from reckless homes, because we've seen, all of us have seen somebody whose mama was praying for them, and they were still out here using drugs, stealing, doing menacing something, doing something that really did not reflect the home that they came from. So, you know, listen, we need to implement this, not at the as an end result. Okay, well, I can't do nothing else, so now I'm going to go ahead and pray for my kid because I need to call on Jesus, because let me help you with this. The Bible tells us that God, he answers the prayers of the righteous, of the contrite heart, of a person that's living correctly. And I'm sorry. You know how I do you. I'm sorry. The Bible says you cannot do things that will hinder your prayer. So let me help you with this. Let me help you to explain where I'm going with this. If you need to be praying for your wayward child, if you need to be praying for your child, period, if you need to be praying because you're worried about your child, whatever it is that you're praying for, your lifestyle cannot hinder your prayers being reached and answered by God. Because God hears the prayer. Oh, he didn't say I don't hear it. But there does come a time where he's got his face turned from you because of your sinful lifestyle. You can't have it all. Oh, did I just say that? You can't have it both ways. You cannot give your life to the enemy, but your prayers to God. Because God says, listen, hey, I need you to be hot or cold. Because straddling in the fence, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. So that's what we talked about yesterday. We're talking about your children being straight out of control and praying for them, or just getting in the habit of praying for your children, period. That's what we really were trying to push yesterday. And we talked about praying for faith. You know, you say, well, how can you, pray for that your child has faith? Listen, when you teach your child from little, look, and I got to tell you this quick story. I have my youngest one. You know, I talk about my youngest one. Yeah, she's the one you can't talk to now. I taught when she was little, she, and even till now, there's some crazy faith this kid has. So she asked, could she do something, or she'd go to do something. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't do that. And she would look at me and say, God's got me. I'm like, listen, God ain't got no recklessness. But for whatever she had heard, whatever she had been brought up in, there was this level of faith that she had that even if I thought it was reckless, even if I knew it was reckless, she held on to that. She, and I'm saying, till now, she was 23, God said, and still some stuff she'll do. I go, oh, hello. You can, she said, Ma, what you worried about it for? God got this. And it's not something that she's just spewing out. This is something that she honestly believes. So, yes, we can pray that our children have faith, not the reckless stuff. But you get what I'm saying. Come on. Work with me here. You understand what I'm saying, right? Right. Okay. So we got to make sure we pray for our children's faith. We got to make sure we pray for our children's health. These kids are not like we were. They're not as healthy as we were. All this stuff that they're doing, all of the things that they're coming in contact with can jeopardize their health. And we need to cover that in prayer. So those are just two things I'm just going to talk about this morning that we talked about with the ladies. And we had our tech talk yesterday. And let me remind you that Dwayne told us, you know, make sure you understand that you've got a footprint out there. When you're working and you're pulling up your internet, yes, there's, you have to go in and erase that stuff. So, you know, people can't pull up your things. And he gave his number, and I don't have it in front of me right now. But if you go back and listen, you'll hear the entire presentation, and you'll be able to call him just to get that clarification. And we had our anchor, none other than our Pastor Charlene, who gave us our faith Over Fear segment. Oh, my, 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 my. So we had a wild Wednesday, right? Listen, if you didn't listen, you know what I always say. Go back. Go back and listen. We had a nice amount of listens yesterday. We talked about 744 the day before at 622. Keep on listening. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your people that it's due time with Pastor Steph is out there. We got the ministry going on. We talk about a little bit of everything. We don't leave anybody or anything out. So come on, spread the word. Bless somebody. You tell them about everything else. Tell them about it's due time with Pastor Steph. Okay? Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, it's the day we talk about our health, whether it's mental health, emotional health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health. Oh, yeah, we get it in on Thursday. Yes, we do. And we have Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith back with us this morning. You remember Courtney? She was on Monday with her husband. Well, we got a nice conversation to be had today, and I think you're really going to enjoy it because it's definitely going to be insightful. I just took a little gander at it last night, and I think you're really going to benefit from it. But before we get there, you know, we got some stuff to talk about. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to take that little break and go get that healthy breakfast. Come on, get those sardines, get that pomegranate juice, get that fiber, that oatmeal. Make sure you text or call a friend and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on and it's Therapeutic Thursday and they're going to benefit from today. They can't miss it. And don't go nowhere. Yes, I said don't go nowhere. I said don't go nowhere.
Pitt County Environmental Health presents another basic step to home food safety.
Keep raw meat, poultry, seafood, and eggs away from other foods. Do this in your shopping cart, bags, and fridge. And be sure to use a special cutting board for raw foods only.
To learn more about how Pitt County works to keep your food healthy and safe, visit us online at pittcountync.gov/environmentalhealth.
And welcome if you're just joining us. It's due time when Pastor Steph is on, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. You love that song, don't you? Good morning. I'm so happy to have you with us this morning. Come on, come on. Get some pens out. I got something for you to write down, and I think you're going to need this, yes. If not for you, definitely for someone else, and we don't know if and when we're going to need this information. So come on, get that pen, get that pen, get that pen. You know, before we get started, I wanted to say I've been getting a lot of requests for older lists. And I thank you. I thank you for your requests. And I got to do the research for you. We have our note taker, Ketty. We're going to tap into her notes, and I'm going to do a little research because I don't keep the ads necessarily. So just give me a little minute, and I will definitely try to get that information out to you as quickly as possible, okay? But in the interim, get the pen and paper out, because I got some information for you this morning. All right, so we're going to start with, are you at risk for heart failure? You wouldn't know that. But here are three signs you need to look for, okay? This is serious because this doesn't only you know, take place in an older person's body. You know, it's, the younger people are getting this these illnesses earlier and earlier. So we want to definitely help you to watch for the warning signs. Okay, so first they want you to know that a heart attack occurs when one of the arteries leading to the heart suddenly becomes blocked, cutting off blood flow and depriving the heart of oxygen. They say this weakens the heart's ability to pump properly and can lead to heart failure, a chronic condition that develops gradually and gets worse without treatment. Okay, so the first symptom that you could be experiencing heart failure is shortness of breath. All right? They say everybody gets winded every once in a while, but when you're developing heart failure, your shortness of breath is just a little different. They say that when the heart cannot pump the blood properly, the blood starts to back up, and it causes congestion and fluid buildup in the lungs, and this makes your breathing more difficult. So watch that shortness of breath and make sure you mention it to your doctor. Don't just think because you were exercising. Remember, we talked about that before, about certain things that we experience that we associated with other things, and it actually may not be from that. So remember, get that pen and paper out, and whatever you experience, write it down, because when you go to the doctor, one of the first things I tell you, they ask you, how long? And if you can't tell them how long, then we really can't help us. So help them help you, okay? Feeling fatigued. Oh, that's symptom number two, feeling fatigued. They say heart failure also impacts the heart's ability to pump enough oxygen to the muscles within your body. Without the right amount of oxygen, those muscles can get worn out quickly. So that's when you feel the extreme exhaustion. Because the heart is not able to meet the metabolic demands of the body. So remember, we just got finished talking about, you know, our previous conversation about exercising. And remember we talked about when to stop exercising? Yes, that was one of them. That was one of them. That shortness of breath, that feeling fatigue, it's different. It's not the same. And if as we get to know our bodies, even though you may be experiencing things that seem similar, you're going to know when it's not the same. Okay? So that's number two. Number three, abnormal swelling. They say as blood flow from the heart, it will slow over time, and it can back up in your veins. Ooh. Okay? The pressure from this backup causes fluid to accumulate in the soft tissues of the legs, as well as sometimes in the abdomen. Oh, boy. So for those of us who have a big abdomen, we don't know what's going on. Oh, this buildup of excess fluid in body tissues is called edema and is another indication of heart failure. So pay attention to those things because, you know, what we find is that they will always multiply. So you may start off with one thing, and then when you look, it's something else, and then when you look, it's something else. So make a note. That's why I say write it down, because we can't rely on our memory. I know I can't. But we can't rely on our memory all the time to, you know, remind us of the things that, you know, we need to know. So let me give you those three things again. Shortness of breath. Two, feeling fatigued, and three, abnormal swelling. Okay? All righty now. So, we got some news. Oh, baby, do we have some news. All right. So, I'm going to save the other one to last, since that's really about health. All right. So, we have the largest human trafficking sting in Ohio. They say up to 161 people were snagged. And you got to hear this story. You got to hear this story. Okay, so amongst the 161, there was a firefighter, college professor, city councilman, oh yeah. And they had a major sexting operation going on last week. And they say that now they're pooling human trafficking with all of this prostitution stuff going on. Yes. Yep, they are. They are. They say they have been setting this up for quite a while, and their point is to send a message. They say law enforcement went all out across the state of Ohio, and they're telling men who are seeking to purchase sex, oh, yeah, if we catch you, you're going down for human trafficking. Yep, they're not playing out in Ohio. They say, now listen to this. This just shows you how sick they are. They said three of the perpetrators were willing to pay to have sex with people they thought were minors. They thought. So this was intentional. This ain't, oh, I didn't know. You know how they always are. I thought she said she was 18. No. They purposely targeted the ones they made it known. Because remember now, when you're paying for sex and you doing these things, you tell whoever's running this thing here what you're looking for. I want a tall, I want a short, I want a this, I want a that. Yes, and this was their intention, to be with minors. And they said that 10 minors reported missing were recovered during this sting. 10. So in other words, if they had a desire for the young people, for the minors, oh yeah, they was up in there. So they would have been able to service them. Yes. And they said they caught 51 would-be victims. Ooh, thank God they caught them, you know, before anything had actually started happening. They were serviced by social services. And they say that most of those who were arrested were charged with engaging in prostitution, which is a first-degree misdemeanor, and they snagged them also on the human trafficking. So that's why they say they're getting the word out. You can do this if you want to. But if we catch you, oh, you're going down. You're going down. Because they're making, look at what happened. These women were being held against their wish. And you know how they do. They just move you from one to the other. Well, listen, let's go back. If they can snag R. Kelly, they can surely snag these ones. Yes, I keep going back to R. Kelly because I keep telling y'all, they making a real example out of him. So, So, yes, snatch them all up. Do it. Come all. Everybody going down for human trafficking. It ain't just going to be one person. So, they also say that when you are the buyer, they say you really don't know who you're dealing with. Okay? They say because the pimp and the trafficker, they don't show up. No, because a lot of this stuff is being done via internet, via text. Yeah, so you don't really see who the head of this trafficking is. So you just connected with whomever, and you just getting what you want. Well, they're saying that, oh, well. You going down. Well, good. They should. And, you know, they have a councilman who's running for re-election in November. And, you know, he says, I'm taking this very seriously. And I realize it's an enormous mistake. And, yeah. Okay, so did he get a little regretful? I can't say. But it's some time to get regretful. You ain't get regretful when you were buying it, so now you're gonna get regretful when you're caught. Come on now. So that's how it's going down in Ohio. So I'm happy that now it's not just this. Okay, so we're going to snag you for prostitution because, like they said, it's a misdemeanor. It's nothing. But yet you're feeding these people who are out here with the sex trafficking, human trafficking. You're the reason why they're doing this, because you're purchasing the services. So now they got to go find you people to sell you. So they ain't going to find no hope. They're not going to find the willing ones. No. They're going to find the other ones and snatch them up, cage them, hold them down for you. So, yes, you should be held accountable for the greater issue that's going on. So whether you realize it or not, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Okay? All right. Well, here's the other news that I pulled up yesterday. And I want some feedback. So let me give you this number, 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. Now, I don't know if you've been reading the news lately, but now all of a sudden, all of these actors and these public figures and entertainers, now they are weighing in on whether you should be vaccinated or not. Now, I mean, I might want to look at your movie, but I don't necessarily need to hear from you in everything. And one of the things that is annoying to me, now, whether I'm vaccinated or not is pointless right now. But the point that I want to bring out, it's not up to you to shame anyone for either getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. That's not our business. That's not our business. That's a personal issue. It's a personal matter. It's for you to make that decision. If you want to get vaccinated, go ahead. I'm not giving you no conspiracy theories. I'm not telling you what happened back in 1932 with the other stuff. That has nothing to do with this. Let everybody make their decisions, go about your business, and leave people alone. And for some reason, Geraldo Rivera, and now this Giancarlo Esposito, yes, you know him, because he's been in quite a few movies, and I actually happen to like him, too. I like his acting. Well, here's the issue. In Hollywood, they are concerned, just like the athletes who are now speaking out, or the people who have opted not to get vaccinated. And what ended up happening was they, on one of the sets, they did not mandate, you know, so in Hollywood, they have not mandated said that people could not be on the set if you were not vaccinated. There's no mandate. And they said that somehow or another, there was one actor who was a prime actor, and they call them actors in Zone A. Those are your primary people in either the series or the program or the movie. Those are your people that are the main stars. And they were saying that they don't have a mandate. And this particular star was able to get on the set. He come to find out he was not vaccinated, and he had not been wearing a mask. Now, see, that is stupid. That's something that you can't, you know, dismiss. Make everybody mask up. And like I said, they didn't know he wasn't unvaccinated, but they said that they got him off the set, but it was too late because by that time, there were more than a dozen people who were infected, and they had to shut the set down, and they lost up to seven figures of production money. And you can believe it because they spent millions of dollars for these movies. So you can believe that there was a major loss. So I can get that. You got to come up with something. Everybody can't be breathing on everybody. And even these kissing scenes, I'm trying to figure out how you get through the kissing scenes if these people could be potentially asymptomatic. What is going on? You got to fall back from all of this stuff. But he's now saying, well, you know what? You need to go to an island and sequester yourself if you're not going to be vaccinated. And here is, what's his name, George Clooney, who's jumping on board. Like I said, Geraldo, you know, all of this shaming for people who have opted not to get vaccinated. Now, I get it. You're on a set. You're in close proximity to one another. Then here's the thing. You either You put the mandate out there. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting the mandate out there. If that's what you want, I said this very, very early. It's your set. This is the production company set. If you want the six figures for doing this, or you want to make the millions for doing this job, then listen, the only way you're going to be on this set is to be vaccinated. And let us make the decision. But for everybody to be shaming, oh, you know, you should be shaming yourself if you don't go get vaccinated and you're endangering everybody else. And yo, cut it out. Cut it out. Cut it out. You know, so I wanted to bring that up since this was Therapeutic Thursday. You know, I wanted to talk about that. You know, George Clooney, you know, you're crazy and stupid if you don't get vaccinated because you're a detriment to others. Stop! Stop! That's your choice. That's your choice, because the fact of the matter is some people have only done it because of the money. Yes. Yes. And you even hear some of the ads that say, you know, yes, we're paying $100 for parents who get their children vaccinated. And unfortunately, that's been the deciding factor. That's what I will say is unfortunate. You know, if you weren't going to get it, but now because they offered you $5, you're going to go get, you know, the thing. Then, you know, I don't know. But if you need the money and you're going to get it, then you know what? Go ahead, be happy. But, you know, you have those who are tearing down the vaccine setup. Yes, they had an article where the people were trashing where they had the vaccines available for people to take it. You can't do that. If you don't want to take it, go about your business and leave the people alone who want to take the vaccine. So it's no different on that side of the fence. So, you know, I just, you know, this is health news because today is Therapeutic Thursday and we're talking about the health. But, yeah, you know, listen, again, you know, see, this is why I say you need Jesus. I'm very serious. You know, we go through this thing where, you know, we're wigging out over stuff. And I got to tell you, God's people do not wig out. They don't. You got to keep your God's people. I ain't talking about those who call themselves God's people. Because, listen, where's your faith? Where's the comfort? Where's the rest in God and knowing, you know what, I have to trust these God. Now, sometimes, like I said, like with, you know, my youngest, you know, sometimes it's a little out there. But if it's genuine, God will deal with that. That ain't for you or nobody else. But I have to tell you that there is peace in Jesus. And he says, I bring you that peace that this world can't even bring you. This world can't offer you what I can bring you. And a lot of times when we lay our head on the pillow in peace, it's only because of the grace of God. Yes. All righty. So I just wanted to share that with you. You know, I'm getting all twisted here and, you know, but we get ready to get our guest on, and I'm not going to call her a guest anymore because she's our friend now. She's our girl now. Oh, let's say good morning to Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith. Good morning, Courtney. Are you there, Courtney? Are you talking to the mute button?
Good morning. Yeah, I have myself muted over here.
Good morning. How are you over there today?
Great, great, great. Yes, I was loving that news you were giving out this morning.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I'm over here. I'm bowing. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, it's an interesting segue, Courtney, into our conversation today. But before we get up and running into that, let's let everybody know who Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith is.
Hey, hey, yeah. I am a grief and a loss strategist through experience, through education. So this is a journey that I tell people. I give them godly strategies on how to thrive through loss. And I was just loving that conversation about shaming people, you know, into doing things. I was like, woo, you know, that's how we end up making so many bad decisions, just mm-hmm. allowing people to shame us into something. And, I mean, it applies
absolutely
to so many areas of our lives, you know, and like you're talking about today is therapy. We really have to lose that need to be in the crowd, to be in that number, you know, so other people don't call us selfish, you know, so other people don't label us. But no matter what we do, we're going to get a label. So just do what it is that, you know, do what God told you to do. Don't let somebody else push you into something for any reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yesterday, Courtney, I was telling a story about my granddaughter. I don't know how we came up talking about it, but she said something about, yeah, well, you know, we play truth or dare. And I was like, oh, no, we can't do that. We don't do that. And I explained to her that's people, you know, pushing you, shaming you, you know, into doing things. And now, like you said, you're doing things to satisfy other people. And we can't, even from six, we have to instill that in our children, because if not, then we all twisted as adults, because we haven't learned from younger that there are certain practices we can't get involved in.
Yeah, because it's like we open up the doors to just certain spirits in our lives that we need to be validated by other people,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes a vicious cycle, not just to us, you know, our mental cycle, but it becomes a vicious cycle to our emotional cycle,
right?
You know, our physical cycle, and we don't really realize how much it affects, you know, us. Besides, that means we're not lining up with God's word. We become scattered because it's like, who are we trying to, you know, get approval from, you know?
Right.
You know, it even goes, who are we trying to get, you know, when we become adults, are we trying to get approval from our parents? Are we trying to get approval from our jobs? You know, even from our kids, you know, who is it that you're trying to say, get well done and faithful servant from? Is it from God or from everybody else you need a hand clap from?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, when you kind of survey the conversations that you have, and you just kind of weigh out, you know, how everybody's speaking, and you hear those subtle overtones of pressure. You hear those subtle
mm-hmm.
overtones of being a follower. And, you know, we tell our kids, you be a leader, don't be a follower. And here we are following everything that goes on left to right. But yet, don't be no follower. You better be a leader. But we're not showing them leadership. And it,
mm-hmm.
it, all of these little ways, Courtney, are ways that, you know, we can show them. And, again, that simple conversation. So she came back to me and said, okay, so we're not supposed to play that? I said, no. I said, remember we talked about pranking? We had an issue with her with this pranking thing. Another little girl, and, well, let's play this prank. And they would play the prank on someone else, Courtney, but when it was them, of course, you can dish it, but you can't take it. So I said, I mm-hmm. explained to her, it's all kit and caboodle. Everything is together. Because it's first of all, it's the treatment. How do we treat people? So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, we, you know how we always do. We always kind of get to where we going, you know, later. Let's talk about that. You know, that silent pressure that we put people in, even when you're playing a prank. Because, see, now you can't, oh, here we go. You can't even grieve properly because, see, now you got to look like you could take the joke. Ooh.
Yeah, I bet. And when we were talking about shame comes like in two forms. You can be a bully as well.
Right.
You know, you're not necessarily the person who's getting shamed and, you know, manipulated, but you are the shamer and the manipulator. You know, when you were talking about leadership, sometimes we don't let people know leadership is not about being a bully. So,
right.
You know, there are a lot of people who can tell people what to do. They are, you know, very rough, but they can't take that same conversation back, you know.
Right.
So it is that space where you have to realize, okay, like you say, I'm so busy trying to plan the next prank. Was I able really to digest what happened so that I don't continue to act this way? You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe the person I did it to or the results weren't, but my focus now is on I got to have a get back spirit more than can I have a repentive spirit to not continue this behavior, you know. And that's a lot of us in society. We don't have enough time to stop, slow down, look at our behavior, make a change, make a shift so that we can make an adjustment and, you know, actually become a better person because we're caught in a cycle that we have to just keep, you know, playing tic-tac. It makes me think of a tennis match. You know, the ball is always going back and forth, back and forth. You don't have time to sit down and say, well, let me catch this ball for a minute, hold on to it, you know, and see what this match is really doing to my life, you know.
Right.
You know, there is physical damage, you know, really in tennis. But when you're playing any mental and any emotional or spiritual tennis match with people, you are really tearing and using up unnecessary energy. So I believe a lot of times we don't know, we miss that process and that opportunity, like you say, to grieve, which is more than just death. You know, I know it's where we go, but I really want people to understand shaming and bullying people to act and look like you want them to do. Like you say, be strong, you know, don't cry about this stunt prank that I just pulled on you. Hey, but it really affected me. Can I not, you know, address who I really am? And we've stopped being who we really are in society. And I don't mean this transparency that we have gotten so over telling our business what is it, TMI, too much information. But I'm talking about the transparency, you know, the transparency that God would have us to tell people so our testimonies will truly change people.
Right. We were talking a few days ago about, you know, people who, you know, everything is silent. You know, I that's what I did. I don't want anybody to know. And listen, you just didn't wake up 12. You didn't wake up 55. you done been through some things. And, you know, this, you know, I can understand, you know, the privacy and things like that. But see, that's the blessing in living a life in the Lord. Because, see, if I've gone to God and I've confessed and I've repented and God has dealt with me on those things, I still may have to pay some consequences. There may still be some consequences for my actions. But if God has dealt with me and he's forgiven me, I'm not worried about man. I'm not worried about man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, like you said, it's our job now to testify and to give that information so people who are going through it also can say, wow, God did that for you. You know, if you're over in the corner grieving, or if you're over in the corner and you silent and you shameful for what happened, you should be. You should be. If you lived a certain kind of life, you should be shameful, because that's what sends us to the Lord. That's what sends us to God. God, I can't believe I did something like that. Please, I'm sorry, forgive me, blah, blah, blah. And all of that is part of, in my mind, of a grief process, you know, where now I'm feeling really bad about some of the stuff that I've done. And, I got to go to God, because, see, going to man ain't going to be the same. If I spill my guts to a therapist or a counselor, what is that going to do? But when I go to God, he now begins to heal all of that shame and all of that. You know, I remember, Cornelia, I said it on here quite a few times. I remember when there was an occurrence in my home, and I was locked up. They arrested me. And I remember, like, a few times later down the line, I was talking, and I almost said it. And I was like, oh, I can't tell nobody that. Ooh, nobody can know that I got locked up. And then, like, the third time that happened, the Lord said, are you crazy? He said, I gave you that experience because I need you to testify and to let people know what happened, because that's what's going to help deliver other people. So instead of me grieving and mourning over that experience, God said, I'm liberating you. I'm giving you that freedom to go out and see, you ain't talking about you. You're talking about me. Come on, Courtney. Mm-hmm. Help people understand what we're talking about here.
Let me say something. When you're talking about the process of grief, part of the process of grief is talking about it. Like you said, we have to end that silence and shame that it's really about us. You know, it's really about making us feel bad. But it's not about making us feel bad. It's really having a conversation to say what I've been through, you know, where God has still taken me, and to the point to say that I am still living in spite of it. You know,
right.
Yes, there was a change, and because of this particular experience, you know, I matured, I evolved, I am not who I used to be. You know, I think in the grief process, we are too busy trying to get back to who we were. You know, like when COVID came, we all, you know, had this thing. We're talking about we're going to get back to normal. Even now, I hear people talking about, oh, we're getting ready to go back to normal, you know. But you don't have to. You don't have to force
right.
yourself to be who you used to be. Learn from the experiences that God sent you through and become somebody new. And that's what, like you said, it was specific times and specific places that God needed you to talk about it. And I want to say that
right.
because you don't need to tell everybody your business when you grieve.
Right. Right.
You don't need, because a lot of people will use it against you. It will be a manipulative tool. But you need to tell the people when God urges you, like you say, he's like, well, I'm not telling nobody this. And when the second or the third, he's like, okay, it's time to have this conversation. Because I've been places that I've only told a certain part of a story once or maybe even twice. It's just depending on how the Holy Spirit necessarily urges me at that moment.
Right,
but right. Yes, it's a therapy for me to remember, you know, how good God is to me because I am alive, because a lot of those experiences I could have been dead through. But
that's right.
Because God is so good, you know, it was my through that's going to help somebody else not make those same mistakes or at least lay a path out for them so they can follow it through that particular experience.
Absolutely. 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 And you know, you know, when we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, I would have never associated it with grief. But again, you know, the Spirit of the Lord gives you understanding and discernment. And, you know, when I was looking last night, I was, even though this stuff wasn't associated when I called you, you know, as I was talking this morning, all the pieces were coming together. And that's another reason why it's important to talk. Because as you begin to get it out, now God can now give you a level of understanding that you wouldn't have had. Talking
Amen.
About those stories, I was like, wow, this is grief stuff. You know, and it's important that we talk today about grief in the aspect of not being deaf. Because, again, look at how grief
yeah.
came out just in this little bit of time. You know, people don't understand that you're grieving. So I want to, you know, take some moments here and talk about the different areas of grief. So, okay, so I want everybody who's listening, I always tell you, come to, you know, come and sit down and listen to Pastor Steph. And today we're listening to Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith, and we're going to get some information regarding grief, and we're not talking about death today. That's not the grieving we're talking about. We're going to start off talking about the loss of identity. Your loss of identity.
Yes.
Okay, so take it away, Courtney. What you got?
Well, I wanted to put a little, you said that we're all grieving, and I want to say we are. We just, some of us are in denial about it. Every day, we're all grieving something. And we think it, like you said, we think it's only death, but we belittle the other experiences we have. And I want to say that because there's so many people who've lost a loved one or somebody in their family or friends that they're unable to be empathetic for somebody else who hasn't been involved in a physical death. You know, we have this comparison. One death is more important than the other death, kind of like how we try to weigh out sin. So
right.
I want to say that because grief is real to all of us, no matter what type of grief you're experiencing. So we don't need to be that person who's judging somebody else's grief by what we're going through in our own experiences. So just to put that little disclaimer out there, because I want everybody to take these types of grief we're talking about seriously. Because there's so many, especially since the COVID season we're in, a lot of people are experiencing this type of grief. So you were talking about loss of identity. And
yes.
when they're talking about identity, it's about, you know, what we build our identity in. You know, one of the things, you know, when they're talking about identity, they were talking about divorce. They were talking about divorce. They were talking about separation. I've actually had clients, and I know because on my thing, it'll say grief strategy sessions, and you'd be like, well, I didn't have anybody to die, but I have people who go through divorce, people who go through separations who actually come get those strategies from me. Because the whole thing is to be able to find yourself. I always say transitioning from the we to the me. And most of the time we lose our own individual selves through that. And it could be just the loss of a job. And sometimes it's actually, you know, when we become empty nesters, we're grieving because we lose our identity as parents. So that empty nester syndrome, there are a lot of women and men who are grieving. They don't know how to function without children in the house because 20 years or not more of their life, that's what it revolved around, and now they're lost without being that. And a lot of times that's how relationships end up in divorce because kids were a buffer and in between that they never took time for their marital relationship or they never took time for their selves to build independent relationships. So when we're talking about this identity loss, it's funny. I was having a conversation because there was a poll I saw on Facebook, you know, how many women actually still solo date? And, you know, I put yes on there, and she was like, oh, I was surprised to get that response from a married woman. And I said, there are a lot of people who believe, you know, that married women should never go anywhere without their husband and all of those great things. But the thing is, if you don't keep your life in preparation, that there are seasons that you have to do different things, you will become lonely, desperate, you know. Because I can remember when my husband was an on-the-road driver, if I didn't know how to eat and enjoy my own company, I would have been in trouble because that's how women get in trouble. They're seeking other people to fill a gap and fill a hole that they aren't able to do for themselves. So when I'm talking about this loss of identity grief, we need to figure out who we are as an individual person without the titles and the labels. So I always call it the AKA syndrome, also known as, you know, who are you also known as? You might be known as mother. You might be known as aunt. You might be known as sister, friend. But who are you when you are not the AKA person? Who are you when somebody else is not calling you? Who do you call yourself? And most importantly, who does God call you? And if you don't get lost in that identity and lose who God calls you, then you're in a great place.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that AKA. And I was looking here at Courtney, and this really caught my eye, and I really want to stick a pin here for a minute because I had a conversation with someone, and the long or the short of it is this woman was operating in what she felt was a gift from God. She was operating in the church. And the people who were running the church, I guess the pastors and the elders, they said that, you know, she needed to stop operating like that. It wasn't a gift from God, and she could not operate like that anymore there. And all of a sudden, she went into this seclusion. No one heard from her. No one could get to her. They couldn't communicate with her. They were really worried because they were wondering if ultimately she would be suicidal. And let's talk about that for a minute because that's one of the things you were saying about know who you are. Know who you are because when any level of people or anything rejects you, you don't lose everything about who you are.
Yeah, because the thing is, we all have some sense of rejection, whether it's, you know, a divorce, whether it's loss of a job. Rejection is going to happen because it's just a season that's in our lives. My husband always says, just prepare yourself for it we live in a world where people just believe that nothing bad is supposed to happen, even though we live in a world where bad happens every day. We just believe it's not supposed to happen to us. And so when it does, we go through traumatic trauma, even though a lot of people that commit suicide even say they're believers. We have allowed the pressure, and that goes back to that shame. We have allowed the pressure of other people's expectations, other people's values to shame us into taking our own lives because we believe that that should have never happened to us, or we believe that we need to be more to somebody else. And that's when we really got to pull back and say, you know, I am not a mini God in anybody's life, you know. And that's when we have to really allow God to use us to let us just serve people instead of us getting to a place where we believe that we have become a lot bigger. And it made me think about a lot of people who lately, they are financially just very well off, but they've committed suicide because the pressures of the world still were just too much, whether it was a mental illness or depression. But the thing is, they didn't get the help they needed because there was a hole. No matter how much money they spent, no matter how much working they were doing, they could not fill that hole, and that caused them depression to push them to a certain level, you know. So all of us have, and I want to say it's really an insecurity. All of those mental illnesses, you know, it's an insecure voice that's talking in our head that's really telling us we are less than, we're not enough, we're not equipped, we don't have the things, you know, that other people have. No matter how much we acquire, no matter how much we get, there is something in us that keeps us anxious, that keeps us away from the path that we need to be on, because we are still looking at the world for their applause and their validation of us.
Absolutely. And if we don't accept the fact that this world will chew us up and spit us out,
yes,
and we can't put all of our eggs into that basket, and when someone speaks, you know, now you all twisted because, oh, they didn't say what I wanted them to do. They think that, I mean, it goes that way with when the man cheats on us, you know. Now all of a sudden you start questioning who you are. You start questioning, you know, was I good? Was I too fat? Was I too skinny? Did I not wear my hair right? Is it all of you because of his action? And half the time they can't even explain why they do what they do. But now that puts all, come on, Courtney, you know I'm telling the truth. You know, I don't know. We ain't even going to talk about them right now. But you get what I'm saying. You know, they can't even give you anything solid, a solid explanation, a level of understanding as to what happened. A lot of times they're just not being honest, that they're just greedy and selfish. So now you become all undone. And now, you know, what about the ones who now become a homosexual because I can't trust a man no more? Oh my goodness, if this is not a form of grieving, then what is
it is actually. So like you said, we're going to talk about it another time, but it's actually a form of grieving. It's about losing our control over things, what they call it, autonomy. But the thing is, we all think that we have control over things, and one thing is we don't have a control over another person's behavior. And so when what we thought was going to happen, or what we thought that person was going to do, and they react differently, like you say, then we become to the point that we begin question ourselves. Now, if you feel like you didn't do what you were supposed to do in the relationship, that's totally different.
But different, right,
I'm talking about if you're doing the assignments and what it is that you need to be doing, you really need to say, I don't have control. I'm able to see that this is just the flow of life that has happened. Now I need to make a decision. You know, I can forgive this person. How do I want to move on in this relationship? Because ultimately, we really, the only thing we have control over is our own response and reaction. And in this grief world, we have put ourselves in a box that we have to go through 8 steps. And if we don't go through those 8 steps, we have not effectively grieved. But who created those steps? Who said, I want to fall through these steps? Everybody has their own formula, their own timing, their own pace. And I believe in this grieving world, we really need to get outside of the box. It's a specific process that needs to be started so you don't get caught or you don't get stuck in a place where you don't even realize that you haven't processed it. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they said they have been crying for the last 8 years. Now, I don't have a problem with tears. Tears are wonderful. Tears are something that we need to shed and release every day. But we need to have a question, why are you crying? You know, how is it bettering you? What are you doing with these tears? You know, is it something that is causing you to live a fuller life? But if these tears are taken away from your life and they're causing you to be anxious or they're causing you to be sad, any negative emotion that you are cycling through for 8 years, that's not positivity. And the thing is, God never sends us through a season of grief for 8 years. That's not a season. You know, 8 years is not a season, you know, and God sends us a season for grief in our life. So, you know, people want to say, you know, oh, that's cruel, that's ugly. If you tell somebody, you know, now telling somebody it's time to move on, that's the inappropriate thing. But there is a time to move with your grief in a different way. And my thing is, the response and reaction and your reason for doing it should be different. I should not be crying for the same reason I am now, 8 years later. You know, I can remember what I had. Yes, I can understand what it was, but then I can also understand the lessons out of it. I can also, you need to see God's goodness out of it. And I know there are going to be some theorists to say, you know, hey, you know, this positive spin, it's not about spin. It's about the positivity that we have to walk in order to move in progress. If we're not making forward steps, we're either making backward steps or we're digging in and we're staying where we are. And 8 years later, if you still have the exact same response and reaction, that means you're in quicksand. You're digging where you are. And I don't want anybody to help you in quicksand with grief. And that's when you talk about complicated grief. So you're talking about, like, in relationships, this anonymity, when we feel like we've lost control, we get to the point that we end up finding ourselves in the same type of relationship with a bunch of cheating men or a bunch of cheating women because we're trying to find the person that we can actually control into a sexual act. We have no control over nobody else's behavior. You know, you're trying to replace something in another relationship, and that's why you continue to find yourself in that cycle. Because you're still continually grieving one relationship. And I like to tell people, grief will cause a gap in your relationships, whether it's a personal or a professional relationship, if it is not something that you actually get help with. And, yes, you got to take it to Jesus, but Jesus will put people in your place so you can talk to. Jesus will put people in your place so they can help you with a plan and a strategy so that you can get a formula so that you can go day by day. One of the biggest things that I tell all my clients is have a tantrum tantrum with God every morning. Every morning. Every morning. You know, grab your box of Kleenex, you know, have your tantrum tantrum. And I say Kleenex because we not here to tear no stuff up. Just, you know, just break out, have that tantrum tantrum, throw your tissue, you know, God, I didn't get my way, I didn't get the promotion. You know, God, today I got fired. God, I didn't make the money I needed to make. You know, God, somebody didn't like me yesterday. Somebody said something that offended me yesterday. God, I'm not as healthy as I want to be. God, you know, I got a bad diagnosis yesterday. God, yesterday I found out my husband's cheating on me. You know, but have this conversation with God so you don't carry this weight around all day.
Right.
But at the end of the joy, you got to pick up all this tissue. So when you're picking it up, be thankful for the things that you do have.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
God, I'm thankful that I was still able to get up in my right mind this morning. God, I'm thankful that I didn't, you know, kill that man and I'm not in jail. You know, I'm thankful that I still have provision even without the promotion. God, you're going to promote me in due time. So begin to speak the things that you do see and then begin to start speaking for your new day, the new expectations, instead of the unexpectations from the day before.
Amen. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. I was glued to hear what was the next step after the temper tantrum. And I like that, you know, okay, now go and just say thank you. I think I ended last week Wednesday with that, you know, just say thank you. You know, thank you for all the things that, you know, take care of the things that we didn't get, things that we don't have anymore. And I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay, Courtney.
Can I tell you, Pastor Steph, there are people out there who believe that grateful is not a part of grieving. You know, positivity is not a part of grieving. I mean, I've seen it posted. I've seen people say it. They you know, that is a part of the process. Now, it's not the whole process, but it is a part of the process, because if you can't see hope, if you don't have faith, everything else that you do is going to eventually run out of gas without hope and faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, everybody, we're going to go into our second level of second type of grief, and that's the loss of safety. And we're talking about, you know, there's a one of the female entertainers, and, you know, she was sexually assaulted, I think like 20 years ago. I could have it wrong, 20 years ago or so. And she said, well, I live through this every day. And, you know, she doesn't feel safe anymore. You know, stuff like that. You know, when you lose your home, now, you know, you feel, hey, you're unstable. And, you know, what am I going to do? And where are we going to live? And all of this kind of stuff. You know, it, like you said before about the grief that, you know, children feel when the divorce takes place. Now there's no foundation for them anymore. So they don't feel safe. Let's talk about that for a little while.
I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, you know, they lose their homes or they lose their jobs because they do become sick. You know, it's a process of it. But then you have adults who have experienced things when they were kids that they've never had a conversation about, you know, to rebuild their safety. And it is all about rebuilding. So I can remember when my husband was sick, and, you know, you have to make choices of what bills you're going to pay, what bills you're not going to pay. What's your priority? Is it paying the house note? Is it paying these bills? Or is it paying the hospital bills to get the medicine, to get the treatment? And people don't realize how many people, you know, like you say, if you caught up in the judgment or the embarrassment of it, you just got to make choices in life. And when those choices happen and you're stuck getting put out on the street, you know, you'd be like, okay, well, I got to embrace this choice that I made. But at the same time, you know, we have made provision by our own hands, or, you know, women have said that our husbands are the provider. So when we aren't able to provide for ourselves, you know, either emotional, financial, mental protection, or even for our kids, and we feel like we lack in that area, we get stuck in a place, what we call is cautiousness, you know. But it becomes sometimes in cautiousness we even go through analyst paralysis, where we think we analyze and everything, but we get in paralysis and we make no decision ever again in life. You know, we just let life make decisions for us.
Wow.
Because we didn't sit down and assess what we went through. You know, so people who, you know, go through evictions or foreclosures or things like that, a lot of times they have to go sit down with somebody, because they live in a place of fear, in a place of regret, that they aren't able to really get themselves back again because they're in analysis paralysis. You know, I can't make a decision over which bill to get paid now because I made a bad decision before. Just like people who have been in domestic violence relationships, you know, they're not sure that they are able to choose the right partner anymore because they're like, hey, I made a bad decision before. You know, I'm not sure if I can discern what relationship I need to be in. So there is a lot of, you know, that the paralysis decision about analyzing things, but then there also becomes a decision like we're talking about in the safety. We're not making the decisions that we can even make rational decisions for our own condition, our own safety, more or less our kids and other people around us. We become, you know, sometimes that's a lot how people become homeless. You know, they just give up on having to make decisions, having to be caught up in the hustle and bustle of the world. So that part of when we don't begin to grieve, that we shut parts of us down. You know, I can remember when that happened, that eviction of getting people to come help me to move so I could move to a different place. You know, everybody had a comment or a statement. But, of course, when you're making comment statement, was anybody helping you pay these bills? Was anybody helping you do something different? You know, like they said, 2020 vision is great. Everybody has a comment. Everybody has an opinion. But where was the village when someone was giving advice or trying to lay out different rules? And that's where we need to make sure, you know, in this, you know, scripture always says pride, you know, pride is right before the fall. You know, when we feel ourselves falling, are we able to ask for help in this place when we get scared, when we get frightened? You know, are you able to make that 911 call? And, I mean, of course, in our spirit to God and to the Holy Spirit. But when he tells you that there is a particular person who is actually qualified to help you, do you seek the help? And then after you seek the help, are you able to start walking in the steps they give you? Because I know a lot of people, they go to therapists, they go to help, but they're not actually able to start taking the steps because they're they haven't had a mindset shift to begin to put this stuff into action. And so those are things, and I say that because it's not something that I have not experienced myself. So I've experienced it myself where it was just like, you know, almost debilitating or almost fearful to even, okay, maybe I don't want to own anything else again because I don't ever want to lose it, you know. And so that can become as far as I don't ever want to be in a loving relationship. I don't ever want to get a job because I'm not going to let anybody else fire me again, you know. So it is all of those things that keep us from functioning and fully living. A lot of people, you know, we see them, they get up every day, they do these functions, but the thing is they're just existing in life because eternally they are scared. They're very scared. It's this movie that was out, and, man, I wish I could remember the name of it, but the mother had made the daughter believe she had a deadly disease that she had kept her in the house all of her life just because she was afraid because she had already lost her husband and her son. So by keeping her daughter in the house, she prevented her, you know, from living her life. So her fear kept her daughter from living her life. So be careful that our fears are not just blocks for us, but we've made artificial fears for the other people around us. You know, like you were saying, the lady who's been abused, you know, as you have kids, you become overly cautious, you know, to the point that you prevent your kids from fully living their lives, too, as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good stuff, Courtney, good stuff. We got the next one, everybody. We have loss of autonomy. Now, this is something that I personally can speak of. You know, I woke up one day. I was fine. And I woke up, and every life was just as normal. And by 8:30, I was experiencing some massive pain, and to never be the same again. Can't multitask, mm-hmm. can't do this, can't do that. I'm not the old Stephanie. I always say, you know, the Stephanie before the surgery, the Stephanie after the surgery. You know, that's the way I look at it. And one of the things that I was talking to, you know, some other people who kind of feel the same way. You know, you that's the loss. That's a loss. Loss of autonomy. I can't comb my hair for myself anymore. I can't do certain things for myself anymore. And you have to really accept that. That's some real acceptance, because you do go through a grief process. And I really had to really go to the Lord and say, like, okay, God, you know what? I know, you know, that I would be here. I didn't know I would be here. But you know what? You have greater in store for me. And to be honest, I am doing much more now in a quote-unquote disabled state than I ever did running around all over the place. And I had all of my faculties, and I had all of the abilities, Courtney. But there is a transition that you have to make, and grieving is one stage of that. Let's help people understand this loss of autonomy, Courtney.
Yes. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier about autonomy, about the control. But like you said, it's not just about controlling another person, but it's about controlling who we thought we were, you know,
mm-hmm.
our 100%. And then when even who we thought we were, it shifts and changes because of our capabilities. And I like the analogy you use, because I experienced a major accident that really shifted my life as well. I can remember actually sitting in the car driving, and I can tell you I was in denial, because I was already at the point that I was, you know, every morning my daughter had to help me get my clothes on, because, you know, I had lost the full capability in one arm. So I'm out here driving, going, I can't fully turn around, even the back up in a parking space. But this particular day, I couldn't even open the door to get out of the car.
Wow.
So I was sitting in my car, you know, waiting to go in to teach a class, and I'm thinking, like, now, do I crawl over to the other side to get out? Because I can open
Wow.
You know, because if anybody knows, in a driver's seat, you can't turn it so much. It ain't like you can turn all the way around and use your other arm to open up the door.
Wow.
You know, you have limited space. And so I was like, okay, how do I get out of this car? So it became the point, you know, like you say, when you have to just ask other people to do things for you in your everyday life, when you are an independent person, it's hard to become interdependent on people. And I just don't be dependent on people, but interdependent on people. Because as a society, we have always told people to be solo people, individuals, celebrate your independence. But I believe when God sends us through those shifts and changes, he's actually growing us to learn how to be collaborative and team players and partner with people the same way we all.
Wow.
You know, so it's that place, you know, we're grieving a piece of our independence. But because even now I still don't have full control. My son comes over and washes my hair for me and re-braids it up.
Wow.
And do it and,
wow.
and all that stuff. Because, you know, at a point, even after I had surgery, I was like, okay, I can do these things for myself. But even after a period of standing or holding my arms up, there becomes pain. And you're talking about hair wash day, you know, taking braids out, putting braids in, and washing, it becomes a point. So you take a hair wash day, and then you have to sit down 2 or 3 days just to get over the pain and the discomfort of it. You're like, hey, this is not worth it.
Right, that's right.
Help. And so that's where we come in this, you know, We have to be able to shed who we were. I like to tell people we have to learn how to reinvent ourselves and reintroduce ourselves daily. We have to learn how to reinvent ourselves, reintroduce ourselves daily. Because the thing is, the word says we're supposed to become a new creature every day. So sometimes God has to break us into that creature. Because like you said, now you are doing so much more than you were doing before. Because God said, as this particular vessel, you're so busy, you're not doing everything that I need you to do. But if I do this, this will help you have focus. Because all of these other things that you become interdependent on somebody else for, it will free up time for you to do the things that I need to do for them. So now I don't have to sit, you know, I don't have to sit in a salon, or I don't have to have a hair day, because now my son comes through, so that frees up my time while he's doing something else to be working on something else. Plus, it allows us to have time together that we would have never had without that. So my interdependence on him, you know, builds a stronger relationship. So if we're grieving who we used to be, we can actually go back to the word, and that's a promise of God that we would become a new vessel, a new creature every day. So, I mean, I kind of, you know, of course, if we don't learn how to celebrate, and we don't learn how to reinvent and reintroduce ourselves, we'll always be saying, I used to be the old Stephanie, but you'll never know what the verbiage is for the new Stephanie. And so that was wonderful how you create the verbiage for the new Stephanie, you know, write a new story for the new Stephanie. So that's a part of something that I've worked people through, how to reintroduce themselves, how to reinvent themselves, you know, who are you? And what it is that you do now, because we do get caught up on who we used to be, what we used to be able to do. I mean, I can list all of the accolades and the things that I used to do, but
yep.
I'm bad, Pastor Steph, about telling you what I do now, you know, and telling you the accolades and the things, because it's like you get caught in an emotional thing of like, wow, that was a great space I used to be in, and you'd be like, oh, I used to be this. Okay, but who are you now? You still, you live and you breathe, and what are you doing, you know?
Right. Woo, this is some good stuff, Courtney. Oh, my goodness gracious. I know you are blessing so many listeners. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't have much more time with you, but I definitely want to go into number four. And that's the loss of dreams or expectations. Mm. So we've touched on this, but let's, you know, I always like to say, I like to put a pin in some things. And we're talking about, you know, I want to have that child. You know, I always wanted to be a mother, you know, and now there's something wrong with my husband, or there's something wrong with me. Or, again, we're talking about, you know, us becoming ill suddenly. And, you know, I wanted to be an astronaut, and now, you know, only got one arm, you know, so surely I can't do that because I need both hands to do this with. You know, those things, those aspirations that we have. And I think that if we focus on going to God for what he wants for us, and I love the reinventing. We spent one particular show talking about reinventing and how God reinvents us and how we can do the same thing. But this falls right into this loss of dreams or expectations. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you educate us.
I'm going to say this about aspirations and expectations. There is nothing wrong with having them, because God always tells us the light of vision. But the part that we forget about, did you include God in the vision?
Ooh,
you know,
yes,
when you wrote, was it really a vision, or was it my wants? Because your vision should line up with the plan that God has for your life. You know, in this society, when we talk about, you know, the vision boards, the vision party, have you actually went to God? And, you know, because in his word it says, I have a plan for you. So So if God is already written upon it, that means we need to align and ask him what his plan was or is for our lives. And we already know it says it is for prosperity and peace. So anything outside of that is not God's plan. If it's not prosperity and peace. And what we have to realize, some of the things that we call prosperity and peace are not that. Because we always want to talk about, you know, Joseph when he made it to the palace, you know, but the thing is, everything that happened was a part of that plan. You know, at that point, are you ready? If you say, okay, I want to be an astronaut, you know, are you able to do everything that is in that plan to do that? Or were you just in love with the idea of it? A lot of us are in love with ideas. But God knows that we are not equipped to do the long haul or the long road for it, because he does know best for our life. And I know there are a lot of women, a lot of men who out there won't see it. So when we talk about infertility, when we talk about child loss, those are not things that are little, because it's losing a life even before you get to experience it or get to grow. The thing is, in all of those things, there might not be a why God will ever give you, because we always want God to answer a why. You know, why did this happen to me? Why can't I do this? Why can't I be like this? If I don't, you know, why can I not have the deepest desire of my heart? But the thing is, if that is God's plan for your life, you know, it might not come at a particular age. You know, everybody thinks, okay, well, it's going to come when I'm in my 20s. It's going to come when I'm in my 30s. You know, there are women now who are having kids in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. So if that is God's plan for your life, realize it may not come on your timetable. It might not look like you want it to look. So be prepared for it to come later in your life as well. So that sometimes our expectations and aspirations are set on our timetable. But our timetable is not God's timetable. And we know that plenty of times in God's word, plenty of people who have had kids outside of wedlock because they believe, you know, God told them they were going to have a child, so they did it their own way. But the thing is, later in life, God still fulfilled his promise. So don't go out there and try to make God's promise come to fruition on your own. Wait for his true manifestation, because you will grieve even more by God trying to create your own world. So let's be careful on that. So when we're grieving things, just make sure what's on our vision board is a vision from God. And I say that because I know, you know, like when I was talking about that experience in the car and I couldn't get out of the car, there are times when you are loyal to a place and that's no longer your assignment anymore. You know, God is constantly giving you doors and ways out of things, but you sit too long, you stay too long, and, you know, your loyalty to things and places cost you a position that, you know, you weren't supposed to still be in, because other doors and other opportunities came open that you didn't take advantage of. So I just want, you know, I know our time is running out, but I want our listeners to be aware there are many doors, there are many opportunities, there are many seasons, and sometimes we don't see them because people, places, and things block our vision because we have begun to dream outside of God's plan. So just check and make sure our dreams line up with God's word and his plan for our life. And God's plan does take us in multiple directions. That's why God does not reveal his whole plan to us the whole time, because we would spend most of our life trying to prevent certain things on the road from happening.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because if he gave us our death date, we would spend so much time trying to prevent that day or doing so much other stuff that he didn't ask us to do on the trip. So,
right. Trying to cram everything in before that day, thinking that, you know, we got to do all of this stuff. You know, we got to complete this bucket list.
And, you know, as you were talking, yes, it's that book. I got to get this done because I'm supposed to die, you know, 2095. So I got to get all this done. You know, it's, you know, I want to, before you go, I want to just talk and just stick a pin in there. You know, as you were talking, I thought about myself and I thought about, you know, when I was young, I always wanted to be a social worker. So I just, that's what I want to do. And, you know, by my own plan and lack of thinking, you know, I derailed that because I didn't finish school. And I think about now, you know, when God spoke into my life and said, this is who you are. You know, you are a pastor. And I think about all the stages. I've been a social worker all along without the degree, Courtney. You know, at the workplace, I was a social worker. In this place, I was a social worker. Now I'm a pastor. Oh, yeah, you a social worker, all right. You know, so I think about all the stages. You know, so again, your aspirations versus God's plan for your life. And just before you go, whatever else you can say to help people understand that everything that you do and God allows you to do, he will one day use for his glory. You know, I would say for every time I fried that piece of chicken, for every time, you know, we opened up that door for somebody, mm-hmm. every time somebody asked me to set the table, it helped to make who Stephanie is now. And now I use it for God's kingdom. When the church needs to do something, I can say, okay, here's how it needs to be done, because God took what he allowed me to do, although I was walking outside of his will. But he allowed it to just go straight into, and then he broadened it once I started walking in his way. So please give us your closing right there, how you can encourage anybody to, you know, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I mean, don't wait. Don't be doing your own thing. But, you know that you accepting Jesus right now, all that stuff that you've done does not have to go to waste. It can definitely be used. So go ahead. Okay. Give us our closing, please.
As I was listening to you, it made me think about two things. We're not too old. We're not too young to make a shift and make a change. When I say a shift and a change, every moment of the day is our new beginning. Our new beginning begins at the moment that we accept today being a new day. So even if when you got up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you forgot to accept your new day, you just let yesterday roll. A lot of us are still rolling on yesterday. But when we can allow ourselves to roll into our new day, there are a lot of times that I have to reset my new day. You know, if the beginning of the day didn't necessarily start out how I needed it to do, allow yourself to reset the atmosphere and reset the day. Not get so caught up on a 24-hour clock in man's time. I mean, I have to go to God on days. I'd be like, okay, God, today is a new day, because by noon it feels like it's already been enough. So I say, God, today is a new day. You know, create a new mind, create a new spirit in me, because I need to make a shift. I need to make a change. Because I feel like I'm working in my will, because I can tell, oh, I'm tired, I'm anxious. So that means this is not the plan that you have for me. So God, get me back on plan. God, get me back on your step. And when I can do that, I can feel that shift and that change. So when I say that, we have to get off man's clock. We have to get off man's calendar. Because God is a suddenly God. God is a God where his time can be a moment, or his time can be months, or it can be years. So we need to realize to ask for that shift so that we're not even stuck where we are in that moment. We're not stuck inflexible. We're not stuck where we're not open to change. You know, a lot of us are so calendar-driven that we don't have flexibility. You know, when God asks us to go bless somebody or be a blessing or open up a door for an opportunity, you'd be like, I don't have time for that call. I don't have time for that person. So we got to be in a place of flexibility where we're always able to shift.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Courtney, Oh, thank you so much for blessing our lives this morning and helping us understand the different areas of grief that have nothing to do with death. And I think we were able, you know, through you to introduce this concept to people. And you're coming back, God spares. You're definitely, this is not our last time. We've been blessed so very much between Monday and today with your words of information and wisdom. And I look forward to us continuing this journey together and just helping direct God's people. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing me to introduce that, because I do want people to know death is not the only thing we do.
All righty. Have a blessed one, Courtney. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too.
All righty. Oh, what a blessing. Well, you know, we introduced this concept, Shantice, you know, and my, you know, God says yes, this concept of praying for them. And when we didn't have it for those few weeks, we were asked, you know, at least I was, you know, whatever happened to that? So let's not, you know, disappoint. And we are going to have that segment right now. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What you got for us today?
Okay, so we've been hearing a lot about this celebrity. Nothing fatal, thank God. Nothing that he wasn't able to be brought back from. Last night, Kanye West came to mind. And, you know, he's been in the media for a few years now, not just for his music, not just for his clothing, but for his mental state. You know, they posted how at one point he was, like, bugging out on stage during concerts. They had to cancel shows. The big thing between him and his wife, Kim Kardashian, splitting. And then I believe it was last year, he was, I think, at a press conference and got really emotional and just started blurting out how he almost killed his daughter. And, you know, my first thought was like, whoa, okay, they need to take the cameras off of him. At the same time, you know, we know he started his church, his own church, and he put out a gospel album. And, you know, we know that the minute you say yes to God, especially if you were very, very, very influential in the world, the enemy is immediately attacking you. Big target, bullseye on your back. He's coming for you because now you're a threat. Now he sees you leaving him, and now all of the people that God allowed to follow you in the world will now potentially follow you and get closer and closer to Christ. So I just really wanted to lift him up in prayer, lift his wife, his children up in prayer, because I don't want us to wait until, God forbid, we read something in the headlines about something happening to him or him doing something, and now it's like, oh, let's pray for him. So praying for his mental state, you know, it's real easy to hear, I almost killed my daughter, and get, you know, very critical and start criticizing and, you know, talking down about him. But again, you know, we spoke about our thoughts, how to combat our thoughts, how to identify where the thoughts are coming from, whether it's coming from us, the enemy, or from God. And that's a, like, very, very serious. And not enough people take that serious like they should. You know, so, yeah, he did it in the public. But if that was his way for him to even realize, you know, how serious it was, or if that was somehow therapeutic for him to understand, like, yo, like, this is getting crazy. Maybe he feels out of control, but we need to just lift him up in prayer and ask God to just cover that entire family, Kim Kardashian's family, his family, because, you know, a lot of times outside people try to influence what's going on in your life and your marriage, and they're both living very public lives. So just not, you know, taking for granted the time that we have now, not waiting for something drastic to happen, even more drastic to happen, with him or to him, just lifting him and his family up in prayer.
Okay, okay. You know, we've seen him take a serious decline ever
mm-hmm.
since his mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got finished talking about, you know, the grieving process. And you didn't hear anything negative pretty much before that happened. And there's some say that there is a potential feeling of guilt because he may have paid for that process, that
mm-hmm.
surgery that she underwent and did not make it out of. And again, we just got finished talking about, you know, just submitting to God and turning it all over to God. And, you know, this is an understatement, Shanti, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, but people don't understand the relief you get when there is, you know, God in the middle of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God is at the head of it all. You know, when you allow Jesus to come and just wash all of that away. And it's been a minute since, you know, mom is gone. And again, we can't say how people grieve or how long, but we do know if you got this sitting in your bucket, yeah, that's going to be some weight that you're feeling that
mm-hmm.
it's going to take you a little bit longer than the average person, you know, who had nothing to do with mom's passing. Mom just got ill, you know, and you know, slowly, you know, passed away. If you're bearing any guilt, that's going to make this process even longer.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, the enemy, you know, if you really would like to make that transition, the enemy is definitely going to be angry because when you were in the world, he had you already. So
mm-hmm.
what's the big deal, you know, what's the big deal at that point? But when you have the potential, and he has the potential to draw people to God, then, oh, yeah, I'm really going to do whatever I need to do to make your life real miserable because,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're babes in Christ, we don't have a solid foundation. We're already wobbly and hesitant, and if we don't connect with the right person to give us direction, then, you know, we're on, you know, this grass. We're not on concrete. So,
right.
you know, there's a lot of things to be said for, you know, all the things you mentioned, and I just was thinking, I'm like, boy, he's never been the same since, you know, mom, you know, is not here anymore. And if he did pay for that, you know, this is something that he's carrying around with him still. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do need to, you know, again, instead of patting our feet to, you know, I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but, you know.
She ain't messing with no.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of us patting our feet, you know, we can be lifting him up in prayer. So let's take that time right now to take Kanye West before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, because you've been so good to us. How can we not spread what you've given us? How can we not share what you've given us? How can we not stand on the mountaintop and yell, Jesus saves, because we understand, we've experienced it, dear God. You know, we just got finished talking about grief, God, and we've gotten through different levels and forms of grief, God, and here we're talking about a man who is out there, who's got lots of money, who's got lots of plans, who has a family, but God is so troubled, and we can't necessarily put our finger on what's troubling him the most, what's troubling him the least, but you can. We're asking you, God, that you just take him, God, and as we say all the time, just mold him now into who you have designed him to be, God. You know, he's partnered up with an unstable woman. He's partnered up with a woman who comes from a family of limelight. He's partnered up with an individual, dear God, who just does not know you. And when we make those partnerships, when we get hooked with those people, it pulls us further and further away from you. So, Lord, whatever you need to do, we ask you, whatever you need to do. Sometimes, God, it means breaking us down. Sometimes it means hurting our feelings. Sometimes it means taking things away from us. Whatever you need to do, we ask you to do it. If that would mean his life would be faced toward you, he would stand firmly on that foundation and he would not be moved. He started a church, God. Why? We don't know why. We don't know if he's really doing that to serve you, if this is pressure, if it's just a change that he's trying to make. But God, we know what it means. We know what it means to call out your name to other people. We know what it is when you say it's better for us not to make a vow at all than to make a vow and not keep it. We know what these things mean if it's not genuine and it's not real. So God, we're asking that you just change the foundation of that. If it was not put together, if it was not orchestrated properly, we ask you to shift the ground and make it about you. Even if he doesn't understand why he's speaking differently, even if he doesn't understand why he's acting differently, even if he doesn't understand why he's reading your word more, even if he doesn't understand why he's talking about you more, even if he doesn't understand why there's five extra people standing in front of him looking for him to say that right thing that would draw them to you. Let it so be done, God. Because we understand that you have to do whatever you need to do in any way possible, and we're not scared. See, this prayer is being offered from an area that there's no fear as to what you have to do. If it means that you got to break me down and break me up to make me right, then I stand to be broken and I take it. And I thank you. And that's the same thing we're asking for him, God. See, we want you up until the time it hurts. We want you up until it's time to make that real change. But God, we're asking that you just interject, that you inject just things into his life, into his space, into his understanding, into his words, into his thinking, God. If there is a feeling of guilt based on what his mother experienced and the fact that she's not here anymore, God, we ask you to just remove that from him. Let him feel your forgiveness, God. Let him feel your change, the Heavenly Father. Let him understand that you can turn something from nothing, that you can turn good from bad, that there is nothing too great or too small that you can't do. There's nothing too insignificant that you won't work on. Whatever it is he's carrying, dear God, that he can't step out of it, that he can't even raise his children right because he's filtering in guilt. He's filtering in an uneasiness and unrest. Because all of that has a domino effect into our children's lives. And we'd love to say we love our children. But God, teach him what loving his children is really about. Amen. Let him be that example setter, God. You know, he has a choir who's singing. They've rearranged R&B. To now be dedicated to you, God. Let him go back to the drawing board and take what you give him from scratch that has not already been tainted by the enemy, because you are the author and finisher of our faith, and there's nothing he can't do. He doesn't have to borrow from anything or anybody. All he has to do is come to you, and you will give him fresh, and you will give him new, God. Yes, we're lifting him up today, God. Thanking you for bringing him to our attention. And we love you for investing in us so that we can invest back into other lives. We are lifting him to you, God, not this world, because they don't understand, but we do. So we ask you, God, to just rearrange his life. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you so
much
for bringing Kanye West to our attention. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Ooh, what a morning. You know, I don't know about you all, but I'm looking at how God is moving these days. It is an exceptional experience to wake up in the morning and to turn on It's Due Time and get from God what you have never gotten before. Oh, yeah, I'm claiming that. Yeah, yeah. Or if you've gotten something like it, it wasn't quite like it. What did you learn today? What did you hear today that you can give God thanks about? What did you hear today regarding grief that you can now take to the Lord? See, you didn't know you needed to take it to the Lord before, but you know now. Are you understanding that every shift in our life, there's a process that we will go through? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. But like Courtney said, we can't sit there. Because, see, God needs us to transition. Because God is not stuck. He is a God of decency and of order. He is a God who's always pushing, growing, watering. Yeah. He's not a God that's going to sit there with his hand underneath his chin trying to think of what's the next thing. Remember, he says, when you were in your mother's womb, I formed you, I shaped you, I know the plan that I have for you. This ain't no, okay, today, you know, I'm about tired of her, so, you know, this is what I'm going to do with her. Or, you know, he ain't doing what he's supposed to do, so I'm just going to, no. We may not be aware of the changes that go on in our life. We may not be, you know, aware of the shifts. You know, we talked about, you know, the loss of safety, grieving over the loss of safety. There's a lot to be said for that. You know, when people exit our lives who we've been leaning on heavily, and now they're gone, and now we're shaking in our boots because we're trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, what's going to happen now? Yeah, that's a loss of safety. We're talking about the loss of autonomy. Yeah. You know, the things that we have come, you know, we have become accustomed to doing. Yeah. You know, and it's very hard to accept, I can't do that anymore, regardless of what it is. Regardless of how long you were doing it. You know, it could be your job. It could be a home that you've been in. You know, Pastor Kim has talked about it. You know, I had the same experience with my mother. Her mom was in her home for 50-some-odd years. I have a mother who was in her apartment for 45 years. And now it's time that they have to make that transition. And that's not easy. You know, somebody not telling you what to do. Now you got to, you know, get accustomed to, you know, somebody else's place. And you can't, you know, they're both, you know, not the top, you know, who they used to be. So now they got to get accustomed to leaning on people bathing them and picking out their clothes. And yeah, this is big stuff. It's a big change. You know, Courtney and I are talking about it on a younger scale. But as you get older and things, you know, get away from you, your own autonomy, it's a hard adjustment. We're talking about, you know, the loss of identity. You know, when I'm not who I was or who I thought I was, or, you know, all of a sudden now that shifted and, you know, I've gained weight, you know, because of an illness or look what happened when, how many people gained weight since we've been, you know, we were in the house. You know, that's a hard thing to accept because now you got to get out here and you got to be, you know, who you used to be in a sense, or do the things you used to do. And now you ain't got no work clothes no more. You ain't got no church clothes no more. You ain't got no run around clothes. Everything is too tight. And, you know, now you got to cut stuff in. Identity. Who was I? I don't know. I can't look at myself in the mirror anymore. Yeah, it goes down. It goes down. The loss of dreams, aspirations, and expectations. I always wanted to be a wife, and now my husband left me, or he died, he passed away suddenly. That stuff happens, you know. I always wanted to do this kind of a job, or I always wanted to travel, or, you know, and now that I have children and I can't afford it and blah, blah, blah. You know, those are things, again, and I love what Courtney said, because we talk about it here on His Due Time all the time. See, God, plain as simple as that. You just can't go to God. Ask God, is he reinventing you? We talked about that here on His Due Time. Is he changing, or has he changed what you will do or can do? Because now it's time to. Yeah, everything is not going to be the same. From, you know, years ago when our parents were growing up, you know, the thing was get that job with the benefits, the pension, stay there until you can retire, and then you can retire and live the rest of your life in peace. We can't do that no more. No, we can't. Because, see, that's making a decision for yourself. I mean, it's a solid, quote-unquote, a plan. But does God want us to stay at the same job till we die? Maybe not. Maybe not. You know, does God want us there forever? Or are we growing in him so now our territory has to change? Because, see, we may have had a job where we're sitting over in the corner and we ain't talking to nobody. But now that God has shown you who Jesus is, you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and he needs you to disciple people, he may have to change that job. Oh, yeah. Because, see, now the discipling is in place. So now you got to be able to talk to people, and you got to know what you're talking about. So, yes, that's going to be some change. You can't keep that same job possibly, because now how is that job going to benefit God's ultimate purpose for your life? Ooh, it's about him. It's not about you. You know, Shanti's switch tip was, let's walk in the new. Ah, look at how that has taken us through the whole week. Let's walk in the new. Let's pay attention. Let's go back to our last week's switch tip. Let's pay attention to God. What is God possibly saying that we need to be hearing differently? That we're so busy moving, the hustle and bustle is going on, that we're not listening for God. We're not watching for who God, you know, is, and all the different things that he is. He's not just God in one spot, because that's all you were taught about. No, God is in everything, and God is everywhere. So we're going to have to turn it up. So we ain't got no time to be sitting in one spot and not allowing God to do his greatest work in us. Because people need to see and people need to hear God. And if we are not moving properly, if we're not moving in accordance to what he has already laid out, then we are not giving God any glory out of our life. So what good are we? Ooh, don't tell me I'm not useless, that I'm useless. Oh, yeah, I'm saying it. If we are not living according to the way God has laid out, yeah, you need to question that. Go to him. See what he tells you. Because, see, we love to think flowery things. We love to think, you know, God, don't think like that. You know, God says you are all filthy rags. So, hey, check it out. Read your word. Meditate on it. Stay in prayer consistently. And let God walk you through everything. Can't do it without him. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank our friend, our sister, Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith, for coming through and blessing our lives. I want to thank you for hanging out with us, and I pray that you will not just be a hearer, but that you will be a doer of God's word. Remember, you need to accept Jesus right now as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday and the men have been saved, God spares our life. I love you.